I think you're super cute though.
I am?
Yeah, like you're gorgeous, bro. I stalk you on Facebook all the time.
I know you do, dude. It's kind of creepy, but makes me feel famous, so I let you do it.
But it just so happens that every time you or Tony post something, like I always see it. I happen to be on Facebook and I'm scrolling and it's like, oh, they just posted this 5 minutes ago. Oh, cool. Love, like, wow, whatever.
First guy, not creepy at all every single time.
Oh, you know.
Please remember, the views and opinions expressed by this show or any other show on DV Radio and its guests are strictly those of said individuals and do not reflect those of the DV Radio staff nor the staff of Dysfunctional Veterans.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Screw Loose Auto. I'm your host, Rusty Nuts. This far and away is the coolest thing I've ever gotten to do with an hour of my time on a weeknight.
I had to go to the hospital for them to like basically cream my back.
Sorry for urinating in your ear. I love cars. I love what this is about, being a veteran myself. Wow. We just lost half our listeners, bro, and we're not even live yet. That has got to go in my intro, dude. You have to hear that every single week. You know what, bro? They wouldn't have a minimum standard if the minimum standard wasn't good enough.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another rousing episode of Screw Loose Auto on DV Radio WDVR. I'm your host, Rusty Nuts. Tonight with us is Captain Obvious. We've got Boner Wood producing this amazing spectacle of shit show that we're about to enter in on. And our special guest tonight is Sergeant First Class, Active Army Sergeant First Class, Adam B. is all you put on here, dude. So I don't even know your last name.
Adam Benaway.
Benaway.
Yep.
Sergeant Benaway, thank you for being on tonight, bro.
Oh, thanks for having me, man. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, dude. Brian, how are you, bro? I haven't talked to you in a minute.
No, doing fantastic, my friend. Just thinking and missing about you all week.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dude. Dude, this has been such an amazing week. So the first, however many days ago, that was 3 days ago.
Yes.
Yours truly.
Yours truly.
That's what yours truly means, Maureen.
Oh, sorry.
I got to have a birthday. And then today is my beautiful wife and I's eighth wedding anniversary, 10 years together. She's crazy chick's been stuck with me for a whole decade.
Whoop, whoop.
Congratulations.
Whoop, whoop. Time for some X. S-E-X later.
I'm going to see some titties later.
Tony, well, treat him right.
Is that your once a year present?
Oh, no.
Is that your once a year?
No. I asked if that was my once a year present, get to see your titties.
Oh, man.
I get to see it every morning when she comes out of the shower.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
That was supposed to be a joke. All right. We both. Big news in the Screw Loose Auto world here. We both have upgraded internet. What? We're taking this seriously, dude.
Yeah, girl.
Yeah, so no longer will this super secret location be so secret that our fucking internet can't even find it.
Because it upgraded to 56K. Hey,
I don't know what...
56K.
Yeah.
That was the heat back in the day, right?
Yeah. That's when he had to put in the AOL disk to get online.
All right.
You've got mail.
Exactly. And then they got super cool. They had like the mini CDs. Remember those? You weren't cool unless you had like a mini CD for your internet access.
Yeah, that was before I was alive.
What? No, Gina, that was like,
I don't know.
99.
Okay, dude, I went straight from an Apple IIe that was that all I could do on it was play Wagon Train or whatever, Lewis and Clark's Wagon Adventure or whatever. Oregon Trail. Yeah. I went from Oregon Trail to Korea, where it was like real computers with real internet. Nice. I went from Wyoming, Apple IIe, not plugged into the wall. Only like the rich kids on the east side had internet. to landing in Korea where you could just fucking walk up and borrow the MWR's computer. So I was kind of blown away by that.
What's sad by that story is you had to leave the country to actually use a real computer.
No, I just had to leave Wyoming.
That's where me and Laura want to do our anniversary in December, Wyoming or Montana.
Just go to Wyoming, bro. It's the most amazing place in the world. Anyway, Sergeant B, what's your claim to fame, man? Give us the deets on what's made you famous enough to be on our hokey ass little podcast here.
Well, like all you guys, I'm a gearhead. I definitely like to lay down on the loud pedal and turn the wheels, but also military. Been active duty for 17 years, Purple Heart recipient, 60 some odd months combat tours. It kind of led me to giving back to other veterans, ones that have, you know, done their service before us, and also other active duty. So that's how me and Brian got to know each other. And like I said earlier, great minds typically cross paths.
Amen.
I love to drive anything with wheels on it. I've got 3 national championships with the SCCA.
Do you live your life a quarter mile at a time?
Like an engine block at a time. So as long as I
that was a really bad Fast and Furious reference. I apologize.
Oh, yeah, I got it.
It was super subtle.
Yeah, and I pretty much will drive anything with wheels on it. I've had really good success in all genres of motorsports, from dirt track to autocross to karting in Sri Lanka on one of my deployments.
Hold on. We're not just going to gloss over go-karting in Sri Lanka like you're fucking Jason Bourne, dude.
So I'm special operations, and we typically work in the embassies. And on a 6-month tour, I got in with the right crowd, literally like the Dale Earnhardt Jr. of Sri Lanka. And once we made contact, I was at every race, every weekend, going to the go-kart track 2 or 3 times a week. And me being 220, 230 pounds, putting a whooping on all these little Sri Lankan people. And
you're saying you threw your weight around?
I tossed it around. I put people in the tire walls. I just did what I had to do. Whether it was,
it's just there to serve your country.
Yeah. And it was funny. Sometimes I'd stay hydrated all the time. So I'd have like a gallon of water. And they took karting serious over there. MTV was there, like, doing interviews. And they're like, hey, so the people want to know this red drink that you're drinking, does that like make you faster? And I'm like, no, it's like 100 degrees out, and you got me in a 3-layer fire suit. I'm just trying to stay hydrated so I don't.
Yeah, it's fucking Gatorade. Yeah, that's what makes me faster, is I'm not dying from heat stroke.
Yeah, exactly.
This red drink make you faster?
Like, they were being dead serious about it, too. Like,
you were doping. You're the Lance Armstrong of Sri Lankan go-karting.
Yeah, I was taking high-octane Kool-Aid. It was giving me an extra mile per hour on the straightaway speed.
That's legit. Badass. So how do you know Brian?
Small world. Brian does his U.S. Marine Corps Racing, which is a nonprofit that helps veterans, you know, get their tails out on track. And Racing for Heroes out of Virginia International Raceway, we do the same thing. And we've touched bases on many times when Brian was up and coming. I believe there are some.
What else has Brian tried to touch?
Oh, I said kids are watching,
him.
Right?
Don't tell him.
I'm sorry. You know, you've touched on a couple of things already here that should garner more like reverence and respect out of me, but it's one of the.
I don't want Rusty's nuts getting jelly.
Are they jealous?
No, you said that you're an E7, your special forces, your Purple Heart recipient, you're part of the special forces community, you're out of Bragg, so already we know you're badass, you're airborne all the way, by the way. And I really cannot just take my focus off of how gay Brian is and how he probably would.
Bro, I have like backside from a girl. Okay.
Kiss the backside of your balls just to get you on here.
Ooh. Maybe I did.
I have two sex trophies of my own that I know of. How you doing, boo? No one's come knocking yet. That was a long, cold, lonely year in Korea, though. So,
I also did a year in Korea.
Where at, dude?
You're gonna hate me. Downtown Seoul at SOCCOR.
Okay, oh, yeah. I was at the Hump, so I pretty much was.
Oh God, you were at Camp Humphreys? Ew.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I stayed at the Hump, dude. I love Camp Humphreys.
Nasty.
We went down there twice a year for the exercises.
Like jumping jacks or like military exercises?
Jacks. This
is the new army. Have you heard of the bend and reach?
Oh yeah, yeah. I got out in 07. Okay. They were just starting to institute the bend and reach, and they're like, "This dude's done. There's no bending and reaching for him. He's out."
Nah, the KR and the biannual joint exercises that we do down there.
Oh, with the rock guys?
Yeah, I was right downtown Seoul, like at Yonsan. Like I could look out my apartment. I was on like top floor of my apartment, looking down at my office. So.
Okay, you just kind of rub that in. I just told you I was stuck in the bees at Camp Humphreys, and you said I was looking out of my apartment down at my office in downtown Seoul.
I mean, it could have been worse. You could have been at like Rodriguez Live Fire Range. I mean, so
it could subtly have rubbed it in.
Subtly, overtly. Yeah, dude, tell us about the SECA titles.
Yeah, so I've been kind of autocrossing on and off since 2012. I'd like catch a couple events at the beginning of the season, deployments, ironically, were from like March to October, come back, get a couple events in, and then do it again next year. 2018, I was in Iraq, and SCCA started a new class, a spec class, where all cars were identical. And I got back in June, bought the car, did two local events, and then drove out to Lincoln, Nebraska. And in a class of 65 people, won by like 1.3 seconds. People didn't know who I was. They're like, you know, who is this guy who like came out of nowhere and just wrecked shop? And so there was some speculation the first year. There was some haters and doubters thought I was cheating, and I had nothing to hide, no cheating from this driver. And then I went out and did it again in 2019 to back it up. And so that was two of my three championships. And then in between, we did a time trial nationals at the National Corvette Museum in Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Yeah. What are we driving, dude? What are you driving?
So this is it's called a solo spec coupe, and it was either the Scion FRS or the Subaru BRZ.
Oh, the BRZ. Okay.
Yep.
Badass.
And so there was no power mods, no weight reduction. You had to buy a spec shock and spring package from Tire Rack and a spec wheel, spec tire and suspension package from Tire Rack. And they sent it to you. You had to install it per the rules. No other modifications. So every car was essentially identical.
Like an IROC race.
Yeah, exactly like an IROC race. The only thing you could change is like your alignment. You know, do I want to run toe up front, whatever, out back?
Sure. Yeah.
And your tire pressures. And I guess I kind of threw the dice, gambled, because I had two events to dial it in. And I think I hit the jackpot with the setup. And yeah, I've done that's autocross. I've done rally this past March. I went down to Sandblast Rally in South Carolina.
What are we running there, dude? Because I know you're not running a BRZ on a rally track.
No, a Subaru Impreza.
All right. That has to have power adders. That's got to have some go juice or a huffer or something, dude.
Not much. I was actually in the NA class because this is also through the Racing for Heroes organization. So it's kind of like a given car.
Okay.
You know, like an organizational car.
Sure.
And I prepped it. I got a bunch of YouTube videos where I documented my prep up to my first rally and kind of the transition from tarmac autocross to rally, you know, in stage rally where you have your co-driver naming off the corners.
Sure. And, yeah. Given distances and severity and stuff. Yeah.
Yep. You got it. And so I went down there and I got fifth overall and second in class out of like 60, 70 cars. And that was my first stage rally. So I was really geeked about that.
Okay. So we've talked about a couple of your rides, dude. Let's go into a little bit more depth into what Racing for Heroes is about and why you're here.
Yeah, absolutely. So our focus is overall preventing suicide from veteran suicide. But we like to attack those pillars that break down soldiers and what leads them to suicide, the different factors, whether it's job employment, you know, when a veteran is making that transition from military life to civilian life, structures are different. There's a different hierarchy. There's different expectations. There's, you know, a lot of shock factor. And I haven't gotten out of the military, so you can honestly can probably speak better on that. The transition and how different it is from having a structured go-to person in the military when you have issues, when you need help, to like almost feeling like
nothing
potentially.
Dead
in the sea. There's not a whole lot of people in your career field that may feel like they need to mentor you. It's just kind of, you're out there on your own, sink or swim. Then we have the physical health, obviously, you know, 70 some jumps, however many combat deployments, air assault ranger, whatever, injuries, ankle surgery, knee surgery.
Did you say air assault ranger?
I was naming the schools.
Okay. All right.
Just the many different ways you can be injured in the military.
And I was just going with it. I was impressed. Fuck.
You know, we kind of touched on that. The last tips. Couple of shows, we touched tips on that the last couple of shows, is that, you know, the whole premise behind Screw Loose and us coming on and acting like a little bit of jackasses is to, one, for about an hour a week, just give somebody some kind of release.
Oh yeah.
You know, but more importantly, and that's what we're kind of highlighting tonight, is that when you're out, or even if you're still in, we have these amazing, incredible individuals like yourself who have these not-for-profit organizations. And that's the biggie, the not-for-profit organizations that want to help.
Yep.
It's not just a resource that's willing to help. We have, you know, we have USMC Racing, and we've got Racing for Heroes. We have, and if it doesn't matter if you're a gearhead or not, the best part about getting to hang out with enemy at the gate.
Yep.
the best thing about going and racing with Brian was the camaraderie and getting to hang out. And, you know, I'm a huge gearhead, man. You know, own and operate Hard Luck Auto here in Oklahoma City, but I had way more fun just hanging out with the dudes and making sure everybody had gas and running back and forth and fucking rubbing elbows with Travis Pastrana and seeing all these badass cars. That was just as fun, if not more, than getting to beat Brian in a lap around MSR Houston.
Yeah.
Every episode.
That's something I always touch on is, and Brian can contest to this or, you know, add to this, especially the endurance racing, the structure in endurance racing is so much like the military structure where you have your, you know, your kind of your door kickers and you have your immediate support. And then you got the different layers of crucial roles throughout, you know, completing the overall operation, if we want to put it in military terms. And we've had guys come to our endurance race and be like, hey man, I'm not much of a driver. I can't really wrench, but I'll put fuel in the car. And so that dude takes so much passion in doing his job of getting the fuel, you know, from the big jugs to the little jugs and ready for the next pit stop.
Right.
And that's exactly how the military works, where from all ranks and all jobs, they all have their own crucial role in mission success. So I Amen. Think racing is probably one of the few activities that's structured where it's literally a spit image of military operations.
Right. Yeah, I think that's badass, bullshit. Man.
And on top of that, motorsports is probably one of the closest or the only places you can get that same adrenaline fix that you get in those military times. Whether it's training, combat, sometimes, you know, the experience you don't ever wish to see again. You'll never replicate that adrenaline fix.
I don't know, man. I'll tell you what, dude. You know what a slingshot is? A little Polaris slingshot?
Yeah, yeah.
I did a donut in front of the sheriff's department, and that was pretty fucking – I got a pretty wicked adrenaline rush out of that, and it was broad daylight.
I got stories and stories of those – of non-sanctioned racing events, but involving around automobiles, to include making my way on Charlotte Motor Speedway and doing 160 miles an hour around Charlotte Motor Speedway in a streetcar.
Love it.
Okay, do we have a link for that, dude? Is there any videographic evidence of that? Or I'm taking your word for it, bro. You've already showed me that you're a trustworthy fellow, but I would love to be able to see that.
I have it. We can make that for your viewing pleasure.
Outstanding. Boner, if you don't mind, sir, make sure that that's a link when this episode airs. Thank you, sir.
Do we need to blur out any faces or anything? Or
This dude's used to having his face blurred out. It's cool.
We should probably blur out Charlotte Motor Speedway on the wall.
Statute of limitations hasn't been reached yet.
It has not been released for distribution.
Gotcha.
Heard that loud and clear. Badass, man. So you named up a couple of other different types of racing. Does Racing for Heroes have a car for that, for every type of racing that you kind of raffled off there?
So all of the cars that we race with are basically kind of funded by whoever owns that car. We all represent the organization. We kind of use those different genres of racing as a billboard per se to raise awareness about the organization, which leads us to those other pillars that I was talking about: job employment, mental health. We have in-house counselors and so guys struggling with PTSD, suicidal thoughts, we have them all the time. And then we got the physical health, the different medicinal methods that we can, not medicinal, actually anti-medicinal, more like vitamin programs to get away from those opiates.
I don't know, dog. I live in a medical state now, so I'm just saying it's not all bad.
Yeah. So the racing is more like the, hey, check out what this organization can do for you, kind of an eye catcher.
Sure.
We try and bring people in through the racing. But yeah, we have like an endurance car that's owned by Mike, the president. It's like a third gen Camaro. And I think that's why Brian picked up the car that he did, because he saw how awesome ours was and how well we did. And he converted from the Ford to the bow tie.
Trying to be like Army.
Lies. No, fuck you.
And then most of them have the Racing for Heroes theme on them. My SCCA car had a big Racing for Heroes livery on it. Yeah, the rally car has it on there. And I just picked up dirt track racing. So running.
You got dirt track too.
We just picked up dirt track racing, or I did. Mike, sure. The president, has been running super late models for years.
those big badass, really kind of geometric shaped, big winged cars.
It's a wedge. It's a wedge.
Yeah, wedge. Yeah,
motor. It's a wedge with a big motor in it.
Yeah. So if somebody wanted to check you out, man, what's Facebook page? Do you got Instagram, what website, stuff like that?
So yeah, the Facebook page is just like it sounds, Racing for Heroes. It's on Facebook. We got Facebook, Instagram.
Do you tweet? Are you a tweeter?
No, no, no tweeting.
He doesn't twit.
I don't fucking twit either. I think.
and then we got all the other goodness stuff of like the Amazon Smile, and we're a CFC, a combined federal campaign.
Cool.
No shit. That's big. Yeah. That's big stuff, man.
That's big time.
Yeah. Ooh. I don't think it gets, I don't think it gets used often or as much as it could.
Yeah. Right. Come Christmas time. There's some guy, there's that poor guy who's that freaking collection dude is running around with all these magazines.
Yeah. Making all
dude,
making all the young guys.
The mistake you make as a young guy is like, oh yeah, I'll donate. Man, your name goes on a list at that point, and they find your ass even if you change units. Hey, didn't you give to that autism awareness in like 1992? Okay, we need you to give again.
What the fuck?
Yeah, because obviously there's some Marine Corps captains that are slipping through the autism cracks.
Right. Oh, I hate you.
Hey, if we want better leadership, we need to fund this organization.
yeah, because if not, you're stuck with Captain Obvious.
Listen, you can't fix the leadership problem in the Marine Corps, okay?
And did you know that for just 35 cents a day, you can help a lieutenant not become lost?
Well, in the Army, it's like, hey, First Sergeant said we're not going home until everyone donates.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a good one, too. Man, I got fucking hazed with that shit when I first came in.
Right.
You're a PFC. You don't have any bills. What the fuck?
Yeah, right. Fuck you. I make $800 a month.
Exactly.
I'm forced to eat at the chow hall because I can't afford sustenance.
Well, no, it's $800 a month, but you went and signed for like a brand new Mustang at like 35% APR. So
it's a Charger, bro.
Whatever.
And it's a 35? V6 and it's got racing stripes.
Oh,
yeah.
Gross.
35's good. Yeah. Yeah. With racing stripes. And they already went ahead and put the $5,000 sound system in it. You just go ahead and have to pay that out for the next 9.5 years. All right, you guys, we've been listening. We've all been just fucking off here on Screw Loose Auto, DV Radio, WDVR. We're going to go ahead and play about 3 minutes of material for the dorks that don't like car shows. So here it is.
Nerds.
DV Radio.
There's a place that is hidden because they do not pay influencers. They built their social media platform from the ground up for far less than any other, and they adhere to freedom of speech to the core. Oh, they're veterans that do it all for free? Who are they? Sayscape, Sayscape, Sayscape. You can grab your profile on Sayscape by downloading the app on your Android and iOS devices. If you'd rather, head to Sayscape.com and create your profile from your computer. Stop having forced posts and advertisements in your social media feed while algorithms choose what you get to see. Sayscape is where you can choose what and who shows up in your news feed. Say enough is enough. Escape today. Download Sayscape on your mobile device or head to Sayscape.com now. Sayscape.com.
You're tuned in live.
DV Radio. Online and on the go on your mobile phone. We're the internet's best choice.
Listener's discretion is advised.
All right, folks, we're back to Screw Loose Auto here on DV Radio WDVR. Your hosts tonight, Captain Obvious, back there, like his mouth has got a motor. I'm your other like it's like his mouth has Holly's sniper fuel injection and won't shut the fuck off. I'm right. Rusty Nuts. We got Sergeant First Class B here. Let's see, Special Forces Air Assault Ranger.
oh no, that's not me.
with Racing for Heroes, dude. If you're just joining us, tonight, Adam, give us the elevator pitch on what Racing for Heroes is about.
Yeah, we're a nonprofit, full 100% nonprofit veteran outreach program, ultimately leading towards minimizing and reducing veteran suicide. And one of our main things is motorsports therapy. And that's why I'm here. A bunch of gearheads wanting to
touch talk tips.
About cars. Touch,
yeah.
Touch tips, space talk, and talk about how we can change the veteran community.
So you had made mention before we were recording that you had been on other television shows and Speed Channel and who else?
I've done a bunch of podcasts. We just did a documentary with I just found out today, actually, that a documentary we did with PBS just got some national television award.
Is that the same PBS that was like LeVar Burton Reading Rainbow PBS?
A producer from PBS, yes.
All right, just checking.
Don't know her background, but she's done award-winning things before when she did this documentary about how the organization reaches out to veterans and kind of changes their lives a little bit.
So this was a documentary on you, not just some documentary that had you in it.
Yeah, not me, more like what we do with the race.
Sure, yeah, yeah, you're nonprofit.
Yeah, exactly.
That's badass.
And yeah, the TV show was on Speed Channel. It was aired about 7 years ago in 2013, and it was called Are You Faster Than a Redneck? Yeah. And if anyone remembers it, it was fun. It was unique. But basically, they put these old pro touring guys, all the good guys, autocross guys, against imports. And I was one of the imports. So I was racing against the rednecks.
So who'd you race against?
Do you know Brian Finch?
No idea, but I bet you know who he is.
I know who he is really well. But the host was John Reap, if you remember him, like the redheaded comedian dude who did all the Dodge shows where he's like, hey, has that thing got a Hemi in it?
Hickory. That guy.
Do you remember him? No?
John Reap?
Yeah, yeah. John Reap is that guy.
I love John Reap, dude.
So John Reap was the host, and then we had Ken Squires from NASCAR come down and like commentate each race. And if you just type it in, like, are you faster than a redneck? But with the single letter R in U, because they were rednecks, so they don't know how to spell. Yeah, and it was like an 8-episode series that went on, and I was like the second episode, and basically it was my bone stock like Subaru STI against this like 700 horsepower pro touring Camaro with like more money in its suspension, wheels, and tires than I paid for my entire car.
So did you beat him?
I beat 2 out of 3. I did not beat. I made it to the final race for $10,000, and it was a straight drag race. So, needless to say,
you're outpowered.
Oh yeah,
that's all.
It was genuinely a race to the first corner. If I could have got to the first corner, I would have held him off because we've autocrossed together, and the dude's got nothing on me. But it was just a pure like rolling start from 40 for like a whole straightaway at Carolina Motorsports Park. You know the course, Brian.
Yeah.
So you know how you come off like turn 14 and you got like pit entrance.
Yeah.
We rolled from there all the way down to turn 1 and took a right. So it was a rolling drag, and my 300 horsepower Subaru had nothing on an LS7 swapped second gen Camaro. So it was fun. It was awesome. That was back in the days when I was sponsored by the Bodines, the NASCAR family.
Oh, cool.
Oh, Barry, wow, dude.
Barry Bodine sponsored me for like some local autocross. And so that kind of kicked off back in 2012 when I started autocrossing. They kind of went out on a limb and they're like, hey, man, we'd like to sponsor you. Bought my wheels and tires, paid for my entries, and I did well.
That's legit.
And unfortunately, their family had a loss where Leslyn, the wife, died of cancer. So they kind of had to dip out on that. But really good family. Kind of got what, my...
What an incredible honor, dude.
Yeah. He was really cool. Learned a lot from him. So
that's amazing. What a cool opportunity.
Absolutely.
And then, way badass.
Then I got linked up with Racing for Heroes back in 2017. While I was in Korea, actually. Some mutual friends told me about the organization. And ever since then, I've been a very key role, you know, being an ambassador for the organization, doing my own hoonigan and tire shredding and, you know, spreading the word about how we can help veterans.
So you said that Racing for Heroes is based out of Virginia Motor Speedway?
Virginia International Raceway.
The International Raceway.
Yep. It's right on the border of North Carolina, Virginia, near Danville. And, so the president, actually, he's a retired Green Beret SF Warrant, and they do like the tactical mobility training. So they do all the Crown Vic pit maneuvers and close proximity drills. We do quarterly open houses for veterans where we either go out on the track and do those exact same maneuvers, or we go back in the woods and we do our off-road tactical driving with veterans. ATV rides, autocross. So we do that quarterly.
What is off-road tactical driving about? Because that's some shit I can get behind right there.
Oh, yeah. so, like, typically, so for that, the main customers, typically Special Operations, Green Beret, SEAL Team, DIA, the
cool guys, no name tapes.
No name tapes. The U.S. Marshals. U.S. Marshals just dropped, like, hundreds of thousands of dollars to buy like 12 Hellcats and come down and train at VIR. Jeebus. Right.
That's not so fraud, waste, and abuse.
I'd like to exercise my Fifth Amendment, right?
Yeah, dude, I'm sure in your community, fraud, waste, and abuse is just something you chat about at chow.
So the off-road stuff is like,
we're going to gloss over that part. Yeah. Let's get back to the off-road stuff.
Yep. Self-recovery, like typically soft units will use a, you know, non-standard military vehicle. So 4Runners, whatever, right-hand drive, Hilux.
Hilux. Just, yeah.
Yep. So we'll go out and, we'll show field expedient welding where you can weld from your vehicle, self-recovery without a winch and all that stuff. How to move through certain terrain, you know, how to air down tires to get through mud. And one of the courses had like a bunch of CBs come out and they literally built a bridge across the river with just trees, winches, and like an axe. So it's a
that
very
sounds cool. So badass, dude.
So we do quarterly open houses, and the last one we did was in March, right when, you know, this COVID thing crashed down on us.
The Rona.
Yep. It was like the last weekend before like the state shut down, and we went from having like 60 participants to, you know, a dozen. But normally we do those open houses, and whether it's ATV, the SUVs, we got like an SUV off-road obstacle course. And that just kind of highlights the organization, gets people together. Other people may meet, make friends because they didn't know so-and-so lived in their town and they both like fishing. So now they hang out more. It's really just about connecting veterans.
Sure. Yeah. Speaking of connecting veterans.
Yeah.
If you were to put a number on it, let me put it this way. If we have guys that are listening in JBLM McCord, right?
Okay.
And then we have guys that are at Fort Bragg and some of that are at Fort Drum.
Yep.
Where can these guys go to catch one of Racing for Heroes events?
Unfortunately, we are kind of southeast located.
Okay.
We are definitely trying to build chapters in those big military hubs. And it just takes another veteran who either has been there and needed that outreach so they can empathize with others, or just a go-getter that wants to outreach and initially just start raising awareness, doing your own events, because there's motorsports everywhere.
Yeah. You'd mentioned that you have a bunch of different cars for different types of racing. So is there a circuit that all these different cars follow, or do they pretty much all just stay in the Southeast?
So I think I travel about the most with the SCCA. And what we would like to see is veterans who race anyway, help represent Racing for Heroes. And we are more than happy to send out some swag for your race car or something you may race on your own to help raise that awareness.
Do we have a drift team yet?
I mean, I drift every time I come off turn four.
I've got a little late 90s 240 SX.
Nice.
That we've got at my shop. I try to keep, you know, I get young kids that want to hang out all the time.
Yeah.
So what I do is I give them something to fuck with so that they're not just fucking with me. And because of that, we took and cut the roof off of a Crown Vic, a late 90s Crown Vic. Yeah, we call it the Crown Hick now. Put a big set of horns on the front, flame paint job. I took the C pillar and spun it around backwards. Dude, it's the spitting image of like a Challenger wing. It's so badass, dude.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not actually the spitting image of anything but a huge piece of shit, but it looks pretty cool. And then I've got the 240 that we've already welded the diff up, and we're putting a good clutch in it. And I want to put a decent set of seats in there, and I want to take it drifting. And all these kids that come up, the high school kids that want to come up and cut their mufflers off and put their stereos and shit in, I give them that to kind of play with. So the car was donated to me, like pretty much everything I own through hard luck has all been through the generosity of others. And I want to maximize on that donation as much as possible. So as far as like drifting goes, I'm the same as you, man. I've never drifted anything except my 81 Chevy pickup in the Kmart parking lot when I was in high school. So I'm not big into anything racing, but why don't we have a drift car too?
Let's do it. Let's, I have like racing ADD. I go from road racing to endurance racing to karting to dirt track to, I don't know what I'm going to do. So, realistically, if it's got a steering wheel in it, I'll run it.
All right. So in the chat, I'm sending you my email address.
Yeah.
Send me a link. And what we'll do is we'll get together and I'll actually get hot on this drift car, and we'll see if we can't get into some drift events when the world opened back up.
We have a couple venues here in North Carolina. Obviously, that's quite far from Oklahoma City, but
half trailer, we'll travel, bro.
It'd be awesome. I'm all about, and it just helps spread awareness. And drifting is one of the biggest upcoming kind of like grassroots events that gets young kids and even older involved in motorsports, because it's kind of like the hotness, you know, it's what's cool.
Yeah. I'm sorry, my chihuahua's an asshole.
Oh, I got one too.
It's my wife's brother. Chihuahua. It's my wife's chihuahua. It's my wife's. Anyway, okay, way badass, dude. Cool. Brian, dude, I've been talking straight for like 50 fucking minutes, man. Other than like one yeah and then are you
No, I mean, I normally don't say too much. I like listening, honestly. And so me and Adam obviously know each, well, Adam Benaway, know each other, you know, for quite a while now, at least almost 2 years, I think, at this point, maybe a year and a half.
About 2 years.
Yeah. And so, you know, when we started getting up and coming, the group that we were told to talk with over and over and over again was Racing for Heroes. So talking with Mr. Benaway here and then Mike Evok, you know, they were gracious enough to send me their actual business plan, and we did not plagiarize that.
100%.
Absolutely not. You know, but, and so we've always stayed in contact, and we're always picking each other's brains from time to time with regards to certain things. And I love watching him do stuff. And we just shared some of his stuff the other day, actually.
Yeah. I definitely appreciate that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's important, you know. We both have organizations, and Adam included, we give back, you know. And so it's important that nonprofits stick together, especially now with everything going on, with money tight and And, you know, it's just critical that we help each other. And, you know, this is a relationship I see going for a long time, you know?
Aw.
You know, that's definitely a good point. It's not where some people may look at it like, oh, we're doing better than this organization. Like, if we're all trying to achieve the same goal, I don't care if, like, and I've seen it, Brian has been killing us, and he kills it on social media. That's one thing we lack.
Yeah.
And I have nothing but good vibes for Brian, because if Brian's organization can save 10 people that we may have missed, hypothetically, you know, that's still the end state. That's still the goal. The goal isn't to be a better business. It's to save lives.
Yeah, exactly.
So
exactly.
Whether it's Brian's, mine, there's Vet Motorsports, there's a dozen of them out there, and it's not a cutthroat, you know, competition. The competition is against what's really affecting our veterans.
Maria, shut the fuck up or I'm putting you in stew.
If you don't mind, I'd like to cut in there for a second with what Adam just said. You know, us being
about making my chihuahua stew.
Us being quote unquote dysfunctional veterans, we get probably the hardest. Oh, you're the reason that vets are looked at the way they are. We don't want to work with you. Like, people don't see what we do behind the scenes and what we're all actually about, because they just see the name and they're like, oh, dysfunctional veterans, they're medicated for your protection. Like, oh, stereotypical, blah, 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 blah. Like, we're not trying to one-up, you know, fucking the VA or whomever is out there, you know, for example. We'd rather work together. And like you said, if you can't catch somebody, maybe the next organization can, or the next organization. They have something to fall back on. If it's not DV Radio, maybe it's USMC. If it's not USMC, maybe it's Racing for Heroes. If it's not Racing for Heroes, maybe it's somebody else. Like, that's what kills me about these quote unquote, I'm here for the mission people. And then you can clearly see they're not, you know, like, but they have this pretty boy fucking jawline cut from fucking granite, and everybody fucking runs to them. And that, it kills me, honestly, to see veteran organizations out there that tout one thing, but they're so hypocritical to it.
No, you're right. And if, like, your organization isn't the recipe that guy needs, instead of either cutting him out or, you know, being ineffective, send him to somebody you know in that network that can help him. If that dude seeks, you know, he wants more one-on-one, you know, with other veterans or whatever it may be, find that recipe for him. Don't just ditch him.
Another thing is frame of mind too. If we looked at this like we were all just resources and not competitors,
exactly,
then we'd live a lot more harmoniously here. And that's really what we were trying to say is, you know, that we're here as a resource to get all these other resources in. And I told you before, Boner, I don't give a shit, especially right now. I don't want any donations to Hard Luck. If DV Radio is not where they need to be financially, I want, if someone's going to donate through Screw Loose to someone, it needs to be DV Radio or DV Farm or whatever, you know, go to your website and pick somebody. But when it comes time for Hard Luck to be the one that's like, hey guys, we're kind of contemplating on shuttering up here or whatever, that's when we rally around each other. We're all just resources. We're not competitors.
Yeah, no, I agree with
that. Absolutely.
I
just made a post the other night on Racing for Heroes about one of our drivers that has been, like, you know, killing it at the local dirt track. And something I pointed out was, we all want to stand by someone when they're, you know, when they're standing on top of the podium. But the unique mission that we have is standing by them when they're not doing that well. So, like you said, when someone falls, you got to have your team around you to pick you up.
Amen. We got a pretty badass fucking team. I just got a message that says 8 minutes and 30 seconds, but what does that mean? Does that mean I have 8 minutes and 30 seconds, or we've been talking for 8 minutes and 30 seconds?
Well, now you have eight
well,
minutes.
Well, now you have 7 minutes and 5 seconds.
Five seconds. What am I going to do with that extra 5 seconds, bro?
Now you have 6 minutes and 55 seconds.
All right, go back mute again.
Stop talking.
So have you been at Bragg the whole time, dude?
I got here Christmas Eve of 2003, and I have been here since.
Never
fucking. Minus life. That, I did one. Like
you
I said,
know what,
I did
though? That's why the Army does it well, especially with Special Forces. Like when you prove yourself at Special Forces, especially in the Army, you stay there. Like that's where you stay there, and that's such a big thing. And it kills me that the Marine Corps doesn't do that with MARSOC, because they lose so many people that you know they could have had in the fight, whether they're you know they're 0372s, they're the actual trigger pullers, or they're the guys in the wings doing comm or embark. Like it, you guys do it right. Y'all do SOCOM right for sure.
Well, I lucked out. So my first nine years was in division 82nd as a 19 Delta recon. Mm-hmm. And then I went through selection and not special forces, special operations. I'm PSYOP. That community is definitely does it. We do it right. We keep everyone at Bragg for the most part. I did that 1 year in Korea, which was technically a PCS, but I've been on deployments that were longer than that. So I just looked at it like a deployment.
Yeah.
In 3 years when I retire, I will probably be one of very few people who did all 20 years at Fort Bragg.
That's fucking awesome.
That's pretty legit. So dude, are you pulling the pin at 20?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean,
right now.
I mean, not only mathematically does it not make sense, because once you go over 20, you're essentially working for half your paycheck. The only caveat to that is the EA board comes out, and now they've done this thing where you owe 3 years if you get promoted to E8, like they used to do with sergeant majors.
Right.
They've dropped that down to E8 now. So the board's coming up, and if it only adds a few months onto my overall time, it may be worth the extra money, but I'm going to get out. I want to work harder at the nonprofit, be more of a continuous role. And then as well, my either driving or instructing career after military.
Yeah, that's way badass, man. That's super cool. I've got one of the guys that I was, we joined about the same time. He stuck around and is doing his life thing, but I've got a buddy that's a first sergeant at Bragg, an aviation unit, and he actually digs it quite a bit. So it's a pretty badass place to be.
He this is his first time here?
I think it's his first time at Bragg, yeah.
Yeah. I can see pros and cons from other bases. I've been to JBLM, which is obviously awesome outside of JBLM and just the atmosphere out there. But
right, yeah.
One thing I don't like about Bragg is it doesn't seem like it does a lot of MWR type things for its soldiers, which really kind of irks me.
About partnering with the MWR for our active duty guys?
So we have, but MWR falls under AFES. AFES wants, we were putting up flyers for our organization, literally like event flyers for an organization that helps veterans. And they're like, you have to pay. Like we need to get revenue out of it. So Mike, who our president, who was a little distraught about that, didn't have very many nice things to say. So they're just very greedy. Like the food trucks that come on there, they got to raise their prices like 30%. We couldn't even pin up an event flyer or like a raffle without AFES
wanting a piece of it.
Yeah, they want the piece of everything.
Then they wonder why our guys are so fucked when they get out. They just drop them like hot rocks, man.
Man, you hit the nail on the head. Like, no wonder you got guys that are just mentally drained.
Right.
Yeah.
Or they give up, or worse.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the worst case scenario, and unfortunately happens way too often.
Okay. We're coming up on the end of the show here. So, but before we go, I want to highlight again, website, Facebook page, and just give us the last final little shout out here. What you're about and what you're trying to accomplish.
And so you can find us at racingforheroes.org is our website. If you're not a veteran and you're just feeling like you want to support, you know, the nation's patriots, there's ways to donate on there. Racing for Heroes on Facebook, Racing for Heroes on Instagram. And on the website has all the different ways to contact us, and we have many different ways you can contribute to saving veterans' lives. So I definitely want to give a shout out to Rusty Nuts, Brian, and the guys for having me being an ambassador of Racing for Heroes, and just hopefully we can get the word out for all these awesome organizations and how we can make change.
Brian?
Oh, as always, man, I absolutely love doing this stuff. This is always a blast. I look forward to it. I enjoy the hunt of finding someone that we're going to speak to every week. Sometimes it's more stressful than others, but I mean, this is awesome. This is such a badass thing that we do, and I wouldn't give it up for anything.
I'm going to drop the shtick for a second and give you the real shit. I want you to know, Sergeant Benaway, how honored I was to have you on my little piece of shit podcast tonight. This is an out for me. This is one of the ways that I kind of cope with my own shit that I got going on. You know, Brian and I talk about this all the time. What a badass opportunity it is to sit down once a week with true hero dudes that are fucking doing the damn thing, man. And as everything that you named off, dude, your resume in the last hour, I'm not going to go over it, but it is, it's pretty impressive. And Brian definitely has his work cut out for him if he's in the top. Yeah. So thank you very much.
For real quick, here, I want to add on that is, you know, find your way to give back. As much as I enjoy driving as my therapy as well, when we take these old Vietnam vets or retired guys that are, you know, a couple decades older than us who may have seen way more than we can ever imagine, like see them get relief out of that, that's even more relief than just my own self-satisfaction. So like you said, the radio is also your relief. Just find something and help.
Amen. Amen. Well, for everybody from DV Radio, DV Farm, WDVR, Screw Loose Auto, Captain Obvious, and myself, thank you so much for being here, for being on our show. This has been an honor and a pleasure, and we'll definitely be keeping an eye on Racing for Heroes, and you'll be hearing from me. This is something that I want to get behind this too. You know, as car guys, we got to help each other out. As nonprofits, as military dudes, and like you said, we kind of flock towards each other. The reason you're here, so thank you from everybody involved, and I appreciate your time tonight.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Absolutely. All right, guys, that's been Screw Loose Auto on DV Radio WDVR. Thanks for another great night, and we will catch you guys on the flip. Deuces.